We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The FedEx Cup playoffs begin this week with the FedEx St. Jude Classic. We'll talk about that and possible more defections to the LIV Tour. All that on the RotoWire Fantasy and Gaming, RotoWire and SI and Morning Read Gaming Golf Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to Gaming Golf, the FedEx Cup Playoffs edition. Playoffs! All right, there we go. I got that edition, that token one in there right away. Get it out of the system. All right, guys. Big news. First of all, Tom Kim continues his reign of terror. He is the most awesome golfer and human being ever. Quads the first hole and wins by five. I mean, you can't draw that up. I mean, that's crazy.
I'll admit that I sent Jeff Erickson a text at like 8 o'clock on Thursday morning, be like, oh, so much for our Tom Kim bets. That looks like that's fully gone. And I've never seen a guy make a quad on the first hole and win. That's pretty amazing.
Did that get you out of not to just put a negative spin, but did that get you out of negative out of last place in our season league?
I've climbed all the way to 13th now, guys.
Fear me. You don't finish last.
I don't want to be relegated. That was a powerful motivation. And, you know, I convinced Tom to stick around for the FedEx Cup playoffs too. So, I'm very happy about him.
It's amazing the move you can make in one and done too. I was 40th in our league and now I'm 10th based on the last 3 weeks. I picked two winners. It's amazing what a couple of winners. I don't think I can make much of a move more up there, but I tell you what, that game's fun. Cause you make a couple winners late. You can really make a move.
We often say in our season long league, it's a stars and scrubs league. You know, if you don't win, you really need winners. I have two winners in that league, but I also have the fewest caches, period. So this year has illustrated the importance of depth.
I'm the only one in that league without a win.
I thought there was someone else too, but
I thought I was the only one with a zero, but I have a ton of caches, but I just, none of my guys, I got a lot of Saturday heroes on my team.
Yeah, I've got the first winner and the last non-playoff winner in between a whole lot of junk. But I have 9 top fives, though. It's weird. I have a lot of good early high finishes. I just don't have anything to support it there. So the other big thing is there's rumors now coming out that Jeff's guy, Mark Leishman, and Cam Smith are going to join the LIV Tour as soon as the FedEx Cup playoffs are over. And I'd heard the rumors on Cam Smith before. I have to say I'm crestfallen that he's if it's true, because he's a major winner. And money should not have been an issue for him. Scott, you go ahead. You pose the question. Why don't you go ahead and pose the question to Jeff, which you posed off air before we started?
Yeah. So we were just chatting off air, and I asked Jeff Ritter, your thoughts on, do you think it's an issue that they, do you have a problem with them waiting till after the FedEx Cup to leave? Are you the mindset, like, if you're going to leave, you got to go now? I know there's some talk on Twitter kind of both ways about that. Do you think they have some sort of obligation if they're going to go now, or are you okay with them kind of trying to cash in first before they cash in again?
Yeah, that's such a tricky one.
It is.
Part of me thinks, well, they earned their spot, you know, all year long on the PGA Tour, and this is the end of their time on the PGA Tour, so go for it. But then Also, the mindset. If they've signed, which it sounds like from the reports, I don't think SI has been able to independently confirm this, but we're kind of reporting the reports from Golf Week, and I believe it was a friend. It was Cameron Piercy.
It was Cam Piercy finished top 10 last week, and then it's like, Mark, Cam out of here.
This is not what you would call confirmed. I mean, it's a report. But if you actually put pen to paper to join this league, I sort of feel like you should probably just step aside at that point. And it's going to become a distraction anyway. I mean, Cam Smith is scheduled for a press conference this afternoon in Memphis. So I don't know if that's still on or if he's going to get, you know, a giant hook just comes out and gets off the chair when it's, but I think if you sign, the right thing to do is go. But if it's just a rumor, if you intend to sign or, you know, if it's not done, then play, you earned your spot. So, but come out. I mean, Smith has an opportunity. If it's not official, he's got an opportunity in front of the microphone, in front of the press this afternoon to say so. So yeah. a lot of interesting live things happening right now in golf. Obviously the court decision, the injunction that was filed by the three players, Gooch, Swafford, and Jones. That's going to come down today too, if they're allowed into this field or if they're just going to be kind of hanging outside the gates and go play their own game for a couple million dollars. I guess. I don't know, but that's also on the cusp of happening. So huge afternoon still to come with the tour and Live Golf.
Did you guys see the Joel Damon tweet yesterday?
I did not.
So he had a box of pizza and it kind of didn't look very good. He's like, oh, I tried out a new pizza place this week. Wasn't very good. Should I sue the old place for this? And I was laughing. It was pretty good.
Yeah. You know, I just kind of feel like you saw the drama of people trying to get in last week to the playoffs and try to keep their tour card. You saw the guy who missed the birdie putt on 18. He was crestfallen afterward.
Justin Lauer.
Yes. Yeah. And CBS showed a bunch of his shots during the tournament, too. They're right on it. I mean, credit to CBS. I thought they did a good job of covering that chase. I didn't think the Friday cut line coverage was nearly as good on Golf Channel. So I was happy to see that. But, you know, it's just like that has to have meaning. And it seems like it would be really cheesy. And I feel like it's really cheesy for these guys to, you know, just call, you know, not just the guys that are suing to get back in, but also if Cam Smith and Leishman are leaving, I think it's really cheesy for them to go through that there because it's something you earn. It's, you know, it's a big opportunity. You've got your money bag over here. You know, just go take it. I don't know. I hope it's really not true. I am, but I feel like Cameron Piercy is a better source than say Golf Nuts 2021 on Twitter. I mean, and some of the stuff we've seen earlier there where it's some unnamed source on Twitter, this is like, you know, you'd think, I don't know why Piercy's telling it unless he's ticked off at that they're doing it, but you know, it's interesting to hear him, like they told him in confidence and he went and told everyone too, which is also another interesting angle about this whole thing.
And the wild thing is like with Leishman, it's kind of who cares, but Cam Smith's second in the FedEx Cup playoffs right now. So like he's a lock for the tour championship unless he'd have to really get past, but it's not going to happen. Like he's a lock for that top 30 and that's $15 million. So it's, I don't know. It's a wild, it's a really tough one. He's second. It's crazy.
It puts the Open in a different light, for, you know, too, because there was a moment there where it was like, it looked like it might break where it's DJ versus Rory. You kind of had like, you know, Liv versus, you know, their leading advocate for the tour. And then Cam Smith takes it. But then he got asked that question point blank in the press conference afterwards. I don't know if you guys were watching that, but, you know, it's the winner's press conference. Yep. And someone asked him, hey, you know, what's this about Liv? Are you in or are you out? Basically. And Smith kind of came back at the report, how could you ask a question like that right now? But the classic non-denial denial. And I mean, those winners press conferences, the room is packed. Every camera in the place is crammed in there. There's a lot of people around. I mean, it's a pretty, if a reporter comes out with that question, he's got info that he thinks he's right. You know what I mean? So like,
right.
And Smith, it was the classic non-denial denial. So, I mean, right then I sort of felt like, wow, he's gone. And I didn't see it coming. I didn't think about it all week, all through that Sunday showdown with Rory. I didn't think we were looking at the next Liv defector, you know, in that moment until afterwards. So, but it certainly looks like if the reports are right, and in this case, every time there's been smoke, there's been fire. You know, it's not to say that it may be different this time, but so
except far, for Colin Morikawa, there was not. It was just cereal.
Yeah,
and milk.
That's true.
He put water on that fire pretty fast, at least.
Yeah. Well, Cam Smith could have done that in the last month, and he has not. So
I wonder how much Cam Smith's bag went up with the British Open win.
I would think if he hadn't signed before the Open, he probably made himself quite a bit of money there.
Had to be, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. All right, let's look at the golfers that are playing this week at the St. Jude Classic. Great course, great, long-standing tournament. Want to see it do well. I don't want to see it overshadowed by Liv, even though we're part of the problem. We're overshadowing it right now by all this talk. But the playoffs are starting, and this is obviously it's going to be a great field in the next 3 weeks. Lots to look forward to. Let's jump right into it. We've got seven golfers that have $10,000 or more salaries attached to them in DK, starting with Rory at $11,000, Scottie Scheffler at $10,800, Xander Schauffele at $10,600, Cam Smith at $10,500, Patrick Cantlay at $10,300, Justin Thomas at $10,200, and John Rahm at $10,000. When we started this season, would you have guessed John Rahm would be the seventh highest priced golfer? I wouldn't. What do we think here, guys? Let's start with Jeff.
I mean, I think Rory's deserves to be the favorite. I mean, he doesn't have a win at this event, but shorter golf course where a bigger hitter tends to do well. Dustin Johnson's won it twice, not in the field this week. Daniel Berger's won it twice. He's out with an injury, if I'm not mistaken. I was surprised. Yes. Yeah. So Brooks Koepka's won here before. So a guy who can hit it long and straight tends to do well, even though it's not that long of a golf course. I like Rory as the favorite a lot. I think off the tier for DFS games, I think Cam Smith has to be a fade now, given everything that's going on. I don't know. I'd probably just look elsewhere. There's so many. This tier is basically your cream of the crop for the entire season. And so Rory deserves to me to be the favorite, but I kind of like Cantlay off this tier, and I've steered away from him a lot throughout the years. But his price has come down, near the end. He hasn't won anywhere this season, I don't believe, at least not a stroke play event. But he's got six straight top 15s. He is the defending FedEx Cup champion, and I don't know, he'll be comfortable, in this environment. And so I think off this tier, he's my favorite. But you could make a case really for every guy, and Cam Smith. Based on the news that's coming out today, it becomes a fade for me off this tier, but really the only guy that I would outright fade.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's a tier that you can make a case for anybody. My top two guys, I mean, you gotta look at Rory. His run right now is unreal. The last eight tournaments, he has six top 10s, eight top 20s. So that's every single tournament in the top 20. You look at the last 24 rounds. He's second in the field in tee to green, second in ball striking, fourth in approach. This is a very, very heavy shot in approach course over its history. Like their second shot in is pretty much the key to winning this tournament. And my second guy, I do like Cantlay a lot. My second guy here is Xander. I mean, just he had the back-to-back wins in the top 15 at the Open Championship. Last seven events, all of them in the top 20. So similar to Rory, just on the leaderboard every single week, three top 10s. He's in the top five in tee to green, ball striking, and approach last 24 rounds. Just playing amazing golf right now. It's hard to eliminate guys in this tier. When we get to the betting angle, I'm going to play it a little bit differently just based on how the odds come out. But DFS-wise, Rory and Xander be the top two guys off this tier. I think you can go stars and scrubs this week. There's a lot of guys in the sevens and sixes that I like, but there's so much balance, too. It's almost a major field. There's a lot of guys in the eights and nines. If you want to kind of stack those guys, I think there's two different ways to build this week, which has been a little different in the last few weeks.
I was just going to say it's necessarily a good field because it's the top 125 golfers. Yeah. So you're going to find good golfers in the 6,000. Someone has to be down there, and they're all pretty good golfers. So, there's a few guys maybe are limping down the stretch here and there, but there's a lot of guys that played their way in too. And so, yeah, I think it I was just going to say, strategy-wise, it's not a bad thing to go pay up this week. And you could go a lot of different routes, but I think paying up is definitely a possibility. Let's look at the $9,000 tier. Fitzpatrick's at 98. Tony Finau, 97. Will Z at 95, just fired his caddy. Cam Young's at 93. Jordan Spieth, 91. And Victor Hovland's at 9,000. That's about as low as I've seen Hovland in a long time. Scott, what do you think about this tier?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of proves the point as you read these names that you can really kind of go, you could drop off the 10s and really build a balanced approach. My two guys here, first has got to be Tony Finau. I know he's off the back-to-back wins, so I probably wouldn't bet him. But DFS-wise, you look at his stats, and usually we're like, oh, this guy's top five and all the ball striking metrics impressive. But he's top five in tee to green, ball striking, off the tee, and approach, but also short game and around the green, like playing incredibly well in all facets right now. He's gained hugely tee to green and approach his last three tracked events. Just playing amazing golf right now. It's been fun to watch him win. He's such a good dude. It's been great. But 9,700, under 10,000, I'm all about that. And then I got to go back to Will Z. He's been a little struggling lately. He's has not been in the top 20 his last four events. But before that, he was really good. But this is a course that's set up perfectly for him. He's a shot in approach guy. He was T8 here last year when they played this tournament. He has seven top tens this year. He's only missed the cut twice. It's hard to predict wins for him because he hasn't quite got it done, but he's seventh in ball striking last 24 rounds. I think at 9,500, he's a really good DraftKings play this week.
I like it. You also have to start with Finau just because, like you said, Scott, the approach shots are probably your top stat to look at this week, strokes gained approach. And Finau is just absolutely, on his run, is just destroying that stat. And so you think he's walking in a golf course that plays to, the hottest part of his game right now. So at that price, how many guys would be priced under 9,000 after winning two, back-to-back weeks? Like, I don't know. I think he's still a value even at where he is. So at 9,700, I think he belongs in the 10,000 tier, I guess is what I'm saying. And then the other guy I like that you didn't mention, I think Matt Fitzpatrick, approaches is also one of the strengths of his game. He's had his best year ever. Sometimes the tour championship, the FedEx finals, it feels like a coronation of, best in show. I think Fitzpatrick is a good fit for this golf course. This is another kind of shot makers course, as opposed to, even though we talk about how a power player, the profile fits well, the reality is it's an approach course and around the green course. And so to me, that's Fitzpatrick music playing as well. So he'd be a play for me off this tier.
Let me ask you guys about Will Z firing his caddy. How often does it happen in the middle of a tournament like that? And what do you, is there any sort of read? Is that any sort of reaction? Is that a good thing, bad thing, neutral thing? What's your reaction, Jeff? You've covered this game a long time.
Mid-tournament, probably a reaction to something, probably not a good thing. I don't know the circumstances behind this one, but, making an employment, a staffing decision in the middle of an event like that, you must have reason. There might, to me, it feels like a distraction. It feels like something has gone wrong, that something unexpected has happened that could be a distraction. So Zalatoris certainly had a great year. This course fits his profile too, of ball striking, and we've been saying all year all he has to do is putt decent to be a serious contender. But I might stay away this week. I don't know what's going on with him. And I don't know. I think that it's such a huge field. There's so many guys playing well with no questions around them at all that I might just find.
What day did he fire his caddy?
After the Friday round.
All right. Well, he shot 66, 68 on the weekend. So I don't know if I'm too worried about it. And whoever's reading his putts, I'm not too worried about losing that guy either. So maybe it works out.
Yeah. There was a comment that, hey, we're still really good friends, but our professional relationship was building like this for a while, and it was souring my personal relationship with him. And I don't know. He was trying to have it both ways, it felt like to me. But anyways, he went 67, I think, on Friday also, though. Yeah. And then
he was 66, 66, 68, I think, the last three rounds.
Yeah, and he just had that bad first round, the 71 on Thursday. But so maybe he'd kind of decided before that round, and then he made the cut. It's like, okay, well, I need to reach out and find a replacement, so I'll do it after the round or something like that. But anyways, I thought that was very interesting. You don't see that too often. $8,000 tier. Let's hit these up. Colin Morikawa at 8,700. That, have not seen that in a while. Sam Burns at 86. Sung J.M. came close last week but still finished second, 85. Hideki, 84. Shane Lowry, 83. Billy Horschel, 82. Joaquin Neiman, 81. And Tom Kim at 8,000. We love Tom Kim. All right, Jeff Ritter, your turn first.
I mean, fine. Well, we got to ride the wave with Tom Kim, right? He's probably going to play a lot at that price, but it's not so much that he won, but the way that he won, he just seems so unflappable. The price is right. So go for it. But there's a lot of guys in this tier that have had great seasons that it's strange to see them in the 8,000s. I think Sungjae still, you know, back-to-back tied for seconds in his last two events is tempting at that price at 85. And I'm intrigued to see what Scott will say about Morikawa, who's I know is usually like an auto bet for him when he reaches a certain level, but he really hasn't had a great year. But that price is it feels strange to see him priced so low. So I will leave that to Scott. But I would go Tom Kim and Sungjae with Morikawa as my big question mark.
So I love Tom Kim. I am not playing him this week. He gained 12 and a half shots putting last week, which is an absurd number. The next highest on the course was 9.3. I just think that he rode the wave last week. He got a win. I love the guy, but I'm not going back to back on him after that. He's had a really good run. I like other guys in this range a little more. First is Shane Lowry, a guy that we played a lot this year. He's down to 8,300. Did not play well at Wyndham, but you look a little deeper and he actually gained 4.3 on approach. He lost 7.5 shots on the green, which he usually doesn't do. So one of those weeks where he just didn't make anything. And I usually like really good players coming back. Like, you know, guys that aren't known for being terrible putters coming back off a terrible putting week. So give me him at 8,300. And then I feel like this week is a little bit of a challenge week, both betting and in DK. Like, they're challenging me to not play Colin Morikawa, so I'm going to do it. 8,700 is the lowest he's been since the 2020 PGA Championship. And last I checked, he won that event. So give me this all day. I know the last four have been tough. Three missed cuts, but he was fifth at the U.S. Open. This is a really, really good course for him. He's a shot gain approach guy normally. I'm hoping he's figured stuff out. I think it's one of those things that I'm just going to play who I think is still a really great player at 8,700. It might bite me, but I'm going to give him 8,700, the lowest he's been in 2 years. I'm going to go ahead and play it and think this course sets up really well for him.
All right. Very good. Before we move on to the $7,000 tier, quick note from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As always, every podcast is on the Blue Wire Network, so we are thankful for their to play their sponsors. All right, top half of the 7,000s. Max Homa at 7,900. Q Scott right now. Russell Henley and Tyrrell Hatton is at 78. At 77, we got Aaron Wise and Davis Riley. Corey Connors, Seamus Power, Taylor Pendrith at 76. At 75, Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley, Mito Pereira, and Christian Besuidenhout. All at 7,500. Scott, of the top half of the 7,000s, who's your play?
You guys are going to be mad at me. It's not Max Homa this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Just hasn't. The last three events have just kind of been okay. There's a couple guys I like in this range more. I think he's playable at the price, but I love Corey Connors this week. We talked about him last week. He played well last week. He gained 8.4 tee to green, 4.5 on approach, just putted badly, which is kind of the Corey Connors thing. But This course sets up great for him as a shot gain approach guy. He's gained large in approach last three tracked events. He's 2,000 less than he was last week. We played him last week at 9,600. I get the field is completely different, but 7,600, I'm going to go back to Connors this week. I think he makes the cut. I think he's going to be on the leaderboard on Sunday. I really like him at the price, 7,600. And then I'm going to go to a guy who's just playing great golf right now. We talk about shot gains approach as being key here. The number one guy in the entire field last 24 rounds is actually Russell Henley at 7,800. He has back-to-back top 10s at Wyndham and Rocket Mortgage, gained insanely well at both of them on approach, 7.8 at Wyndham, 5.2 at Rocket, gained 9.7 tee to green, 11 strokes at Rocket tee to green. Didn't putt great at either event. Like, he probably would have won either event if he putted, you know, even a little bit better than average. He would have a chance to win both those events. I just like him at the price, under 8,000, hitting the ball so well right now. I'm going to ride the recent form and go with Russell Henley here.
66 on Sunday at the Wyndham too. I like that. I like the little catch the tailwind on your way out of town. So I had Henley flagged as my top choice off the top of the 7,000 for all.
That's
the
a double or asterisk then. All right. I like it.
Double. I also, I would be on Tyrrell Hatton here also at the price. He hasn't had the best year, but coming around, is top 10 at the Wyndham, 11th at the Open, and a little 64 at the Wyndham on Sunday. It blows all out right. of town into the next one. So.
Are you guys riding the Taylor Pendrith hot streak?
Taylor Pendrith is yet another one on my list from the upper 7,000s. Scott, four straight top 15 since returning from injury, 13th last week. So I think that's a good price. But I think Henley is my favorite pick off this range. But the other two guys would be Hatton and Pendrith. So I think Henley is it's just where data and recent form converge like that. You just can't ignore it. And the price.
My hesitation on Pendrith is almost all of his events that he's done so well in have been pretty weak fields, two alternate field events, Rocket Mortgage. And then last week, of course, was a real, a little bit more of a step up in class in terms of the field. But, you know, and not to take anything away from him, he's played well, but I kind of think it's a little different this week is my gut feel. So I probably won't be playing him.
I take Corey Connors every time at the same price this week.
Yeah, that's kind of how I view it there too. Canadian showdown there. See if you can try to work that into some sort of head to head on one of the various services. If you can do that, let's move into the lower half of the 7,000, 7,400. Harold Varner, Chris Kirk, Keith Mitchell, Sahith Theegala at 7,300. Webb Simpson, Siwoo Kim. It's the Withdrawal Brothers. Nice. Adam Hadwin, JT Poston. At 72, Maverick McNealy, Justin Rose, Alex Noren, Cam Davis, Brian Harman. At 71, we've got Cameron Tringali, Sebastian Munoz, Scott Stallings, Denny McCarthy, and Chez Reavy. At 7,000, we got Jason Day, Brendan Steele, Emiliano Grillo, Gary Woodland, and Adam Long, another withdrawal guy. So I'm not bitter at all about that. I had a perfect 6 for 6 and I didn't. So good times. All right, Jeff, you get to go first. Lower half of the 7,000s. Who do you like?
It's not my favorite range this week.
Yeah.
I'm moderately interested in Cam Davis at that price. I feel like we should call out Webb Simpson. We gave him way too much airtime last week, and then he goes and WDs at 35 holes at the event where he named his daughter for the event, and we
warned you on that.
We don't name, and we said we said we weren't playing him too. I actually that was a good fade right there.
Yeah. So, but
I'm not using him in our season long league, by the way, this week, guys. I have seven golfers, so I'm sick of him. He can, wow.
Humble brag.
This will.
No, it's not. I'm 13th place. There is no brag. It is humble bad, more like.
Look how many playoff golfers I have.
How could I be in 13th with this juggernaut? Scott,
you want to do is not finish last, because that stays on the spreadsheet forever that gets passed around. They do first, second, third, and then last. Everything in between is just completely lost in history in this league that we play, which is
the it's just first. Nobody remembers anything else.
Well, at least it's documented the other finishes. Otherwise, my name would only be on there for a couple last place finishes when I picked Tiger when I shouldn't have.
I actually really like this tier. I like Cam Davis a lot, who Jeff mentioned. Yeah. I think you look at the last three events, just playing great golf right now. He's been in the top 20 in all three of those events. He's gained largely in tee to green the last three, really nicely in approach. So hitting the ball well. You know, we're way down in the price range, but he's top 20 in ball striking and approach last time around. So playing really well. And I'm going to go back to Scott Stallings again. We talked about him last week. It's kind of like this guy is really a great play. Finished 13th, so he worked out. He stayed hot. That's four straight top 15s for Stallings. Last 12 rounds, he's 10th in approach, so hitting the ball really well. And then finally in this range, another guy I like Brendan Steele again. He's playing really well. Gained really well last week in the ball striking metric, 6.7 tee to green, 4.5 in approach. Just putted terribly. It's the only reason he finished 30th. Otherwise, he would have been way up there. But you look at the last five. He's got the one missed cut at 3M Open, but two top 10s, four top 30s. At 7,000, he finishes top 30. That's a really good decision. And you look at the last 24 rounds, stat-wise, he's top 8 in the field in tee to green, ball striking, off the tee, and approach. All four ball striking metrics, he's top 10 in all of those. Actually, top 8. 7th is worst. Brendan Steele's hitting the ball really, really well and underpriced this week at 7,000.
All right, Scott, you get the honors for the $6,000 tier. It might actually merit more attention than we usually give it. You know, if you want to build at the top, you have to find someone at the bottom. Is who do you like at the bottom?
I mean, first one is a guy that I liked last week. We talked about him as a top 10. He actually came through for us as Taylor Moore. Another great week. He finished finished fifth last week and hit the ball really well. 8.7 tee to green. That's back-to-back top sixes for Taylor Moore. Someone we liked early in the preseason. And he kind of struggled in the middle. He's really finding his form right now. And his price went down. I think he was like 7,300 last week. Went down to 6,800 with the better field. But give me a top five and give me 6,800 there. And then also a guy who's had back-to-back, recent form down here. Back-to-back top 15s is Steven Yeager. Hit it great at the Wyndham. Gained 5 tee to green, 5.4 in approach. He was fifth at Rocket. Similarly gained in the two key metrics really, really well. So playing good golf right now. I like Yeager and Moore to make the cut. And kind of all that's all you want under the 7,000 price range this week.
Good picks. I like the Yeager pick especially. I'd still flag Brandon Wu. Is he still on your team, Erickson?
Yeah, he's still missing 5-foot putts on Sunday. He missed like five of them on Sunday's round. He could have had a really nice finish. He did well, but he hits this great approach out of the rough on 18 and misses the putt. And that was just so emblematic of his round that day, I thought.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about guys who strike the ball well and didn't putt? He strikes me as one of them there.
I think he's a guy. I mean, okay, we talked about how we like to ride the tailwind of somebody flying out on Sunday. This is the opposite, but I think it's a rising young player who's learning how to see his name on the leaderboard a little bit. Yep. There's something to be said for that too. And he did play his way into contention. So at this price, all he has to do is make a cut and you're making money on it.
Well, I agree. And I'm using Wu and Yeager over Webb Simpson this week.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I think Johnny Vegas is sort of interesting. Made the cut at the Rocket, made the cut at the Scottish. He's streaky, but in elite fields, he's flashed before. I could see him possibly hanging. And then I left a question mark by Russell Knox, who I think got picked up in our league, and I haven't done the research to see why. But that's a pretty good price on Russell Knox, I think. I think Wu is my favorite off the 6,000 tier.
All right.
I don't have an answer for Russell Knox, but at 65, if I can come up with one, that's a good price. Somebody in our league liked him. I don't remember who it was.
And I'll throw out Kurt Kitayama at 6,400. Again, total wild card. You know, he's had good finishes and misses the cuts. He's all over the place, but I don't know. I feel like he's like, I'll see his name on Thursday or Friday in the leaderboard and I won't be surprised. He's like one of those like first round bet type of guys.
He hit it well at Rocket too. He gained 6 shots tee to green. So he's hitting it well. Just didn't putt great, but finished 20th. And I like that pick too.
Yeah. So that's one if you really need to go cheap. He's a possibility there. Let's shuffle on over to the SI Sportsbook. Take a look at some of the betting odds here for this tournament. Jeff, as always, this is your home field. We'll start with you.
Well, it's hard to go. I don't really see a Cinderella winning this week. It's just such a loaded field. There's so many guys playing well. Per usual, I kind of chop off the top part of the board and I like to just start at 20 to one odds or greater. I mean, I think Finau 22 to one, he's won twice. I don't know. Maybe it could happen again if he keeps playing like the way he has. So 22 to one, I'm interested. I'm interested in Fitzpatrick at 20 to one. Tom Kim is still hanging out at 35 to one. I know it, he's riding the wave also of almost the stats say it's almost impossible, but 35 to one, I'm interested. And then Scott, you've talked me back into Colin Morikawa, who's, I remember is always an auto bet for you when he's over 25 to one. Now he's 33 to one. So it's fun to root for Colin Morikawa. So I could get in on that. And then Russell Henley, 55 to one, but that's it. I don't see, you could play around maybe with betting on the top fives or top tens, but I don't think this is really a week for Cinderella. I think it feels too deep, too many guys playing well. So I think you got to stay in those guys that that are hot.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to have three guys, nobody under 20 to one, but three guys under 35 to one. This is a challenge week for me. You're telling me that John Rahm is the 7th highest odds this week. I'm just going to blindly take that. It's just one of those things. You gave me John Rahm at 20 to one. If I don't take that and the end of the week on Sunday, he's in there and competing in the back nine, I'll be so pissed at myself. So I'm going 20 to one, John Rahm. I just give me John Rahm at 20 to one. I'll take that any tournament, no matter how he's playing every day and call it a day. I mean, Rory's under 10 to one. I love him this week, but I'm not going to take him at 9 to one or whatever it is. And then then Morikawa is the 15th highest. You mentioned auto bet over 30-1. He's 33-1. I'm going to take that. I'm also going to take Shane Lowry. I like him coming off the bad putting week at 33-1. Then drop down a couple kind of longer shots. I like Corey Connors at 60-1 and Russell Henley at 55-1. And then a couple of top 10 bets. I like Brendan Steele at 11-1 to make the top 10 and Taylor Moore at 12-1 to make the top 10. Hopefully he can cash for us again. We had him at the top 10 last week, which is really nice.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on Rory's odds at SI Sportsbook. It's 10-1, and it's such a great field. See, that low of odds is kind of striking to me.
He's earned it, but there's just no way in this field I can bet him at 10-1.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was outright pretty interesting. Let's talk one and done. A lot of the discussion now is who do you have left? I know for me that was a real challenge. And you know, hard to believe with such a great job I'm doing in that turn in that league, but yeah, I think I do have Tony Finau available. I'm going to go ahead and use him, not overthink it, because my next best available golfer I think is Victor Hovland or something like that, or I have Fitzpatrick available too, or Lowry. So I have some options, but I'm going to go Finau with this one here. Jeff, what say you?
I've got Finau available. I somehow, and this tells you all you need to know about my one and done performance series this year, I have Cam Smith available. And so I'm wondering.
Do it before he leaves.
I'm going to take him because I don't know if this is the last one, and I'm going to put Finau as my alternate in case something weird happens these next few days, and he's not there on the first tee. But Cam Smith is my pick today, with Finau as the alternate.
So not only is who you have left, but you have to think a little bit in this. You want to make sure that you have a guy or two that make the finals. You got to make sure you want to have a couple guys at the top. I've used almost everybody that's elite, kind of by strategy, and I usually do that. But I'm saving Sungjae because he's 10th or something right now, so pretty likely to make it. And I have Neiman and Horschel there, but I'm going to save those guys because I want three guys that might make the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to drop down. I was between Russell Henley and Cam Davis. I think I'm going to talk myself into Russell Henley. So I'm going to go a little bit long shoddy this week and save a couple of guys. I don't want to run out of everybody, so I'm going to do that. And I just love how Henley's playing right now. So I'm going to go Russell Henley kind of off the board for my one and done this week.
I like the strategy there. I think that's smart. Now, of course, I had used Sungjae in the week that he missed a cut, because he never misses cuts, and he missed a cut. You know, I've got that superpower there. So sorry, Finau backers. I'm on Finau this week, so there you go. We reserved a little space at the end here for Jeff. You've got a fantasy football minute. Go.
I'm in the middle of a draft. Okay. So it's a slow moving email draft. My current two players are Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams. And so the decision is take a running back, maybe an Etienne or Ezekiel Elliott will be on the board. Or do I trade Devontae Adams for Joe Mixon, which is offered to me, and take a wide receiver? So I could have Mixon and Jefferson.
Who's the wide receiver?
Yeah, who's the wide receiver?
It'd be Tyreek Hill is out there still. So we're in like the third round, which is, you know.
Tyreek Hill goes end of the second, beginning of the third. So he goes a little higher than the two backs that you're discussing there.
Yeah, I think
Mixon and Adams are pretty interchangeable too in terms of draft value, at least in terms of ADP, about, you know, how you want to build your team is always a different answer. I could get behind the trade there. Scott, what do you think?
It's a keeper league, so you have to keep him for 2 years. Yeah. I'm going to go Adams and ATN and just stick with the receivers and draft ATN. Okay. I really like him, especially because you can keep him next year.
That's actually a good point. It's PPR, right?
Half point. And young running backs are gold. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can get one, and it's those are hot commodities.
Yeah, I'm a touch worried about Tyreek and how much volume he gets. So I think I go Adams and ATN.
All right, there you have it. Any other parting golf thoughts, guys?
Well, it's like this is like Law and Order Day, so we'll see. It's a very this is a, almost an awkward time to do the podcast because things
just might like look last very, time. Yeah,
I know, it might look very different in about 3 hours, but you know, we'll see where this goes. That it's strange that Liv has just really overshadowed the tour event this week, and what's going on with Cam Smith. I think we're all eager to see what happens there.
I luckily don't have to deal with the news cycle of it like Jeff does. So I'm actually going to enjoy this. I love the playoffs. I love the cut. I love when they get to the top 70. They got guys that, you know, are moving up and down. So I'm going to enjoy these last 3 weeks of golf. I don't know what the PGA is going to look like starting next season. So I'm really going to try and enjoy these last 3 weeks. I love the sport. I love a lot of the players, and I'm hoping it doesn't get too much upheaval, but I can see a lot of guys leave after the FedEx. So I'm going to enjoy these last 3 weeks and kind of, you know, figure out how to feel about it after that.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out, are we going to do a live league next year? No, we're not. We may, so we'll find out. Everybody, thanks for listening to Gaming Golf. We'll cover through the playoffs, so you'll see our mugs again next week as well. Thanks for tuning in. Good luck in your lineups this week. Take care.